Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
It is not by accident that we're here, and that I'm here, and that you all are here. So we're going to, you know, when Brother Jonathan was talking about leaving a few weeks ago, and I think that when I was gone dealing with the loss of my nephew, he had said something to Eddie about us divvying up, you know, whenever we wanted to talk. And so Eddie asked me to do tonight, and that was a few weeks ago. And I had a message on my computer that I was going to use, and so I wasn't worried about it. You know, I looked over it a time or two, and that's what I was going to use. And then this morning, my youth Sunday school, if you were in there this morning, the two that's sitting in here, we talked about this earlier a little bit, but I was sitting in my recliner this morning, and God laid this message on my heart. And, you know, like I said, it was not what I thought I was going to talk about tonight. And so, like I told Eddie after service, like, I'm going to go home and put a few things on paper. He's like, because right now it's just kind of in my head. But one thing that I ask you tonight is I want y'all to be part of this service. If I ask a question, you know, if you got an answer, answer it. This is not a formal sermon where I'm going to, you know, where it's all me or I'm asking these rhetorical questions. If I ask a question, answer it. If you've got something you want to interject, just let it out there for all of us to hear, and we'll either add to or whatever. But, you know, sometimes when people up here speaking, they'll ask questions, and they don't really want you to answer them, you know, because they've got the answer prepared. That is not the case tonight. So if I ask a question, please feel free to put out an answer. But like I said, I was sitting in my chair this morning, and I was just sitting there with a dog in my lap, petting on him, and I was thinking about all the New Year's resolutions that I was going to make for this year, and how I needed to get back on my diet that Christmas and Thanksgiving has destroyed for me. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, how many others are planning on making New Year's resolutions this year? I mean, is any of y'all?
Every year.
I mean, why is that? Why have we stopped making New Year's resolutions? Is it because we know we're going to fail?
Yeah.
Yep. So we're just going to nip that in the bud. If we don't make them, we don't fail.
That's right.
Yep. That's well. But why is it that we fail at it? I mean, is it because of the circumstances around us? Or, you know, what makes those, you know, whether it's, you know, like when we first started coming here, it was in the fall. And then that Christmas, you know, Brother Jonathan started, you know, right after Christmas, he brought up his little cards about reading through the Bible. I thought, you know what, I'm going to do that. I ain't never read through the Bible before. I'm going to do that. About January, end of January, I found the card. And I thought, well, I'm just a month in. I'm going to start it now. Well, about July, I found it again, and then I thought, well, I'll just start it next year. You know, it's been too late. I won't get off, and I won't never get it done. And then, you know, the next year come along, and he brought out the little multicolored cards. I picked me out a colorful one that I thought, you know what, I won't get that one. Well, about February is when I found that one, and I just, you know, like I said, month by month, put it off again, and it took the third year for me to finally say, I'm going to do it this year. And he was talking about the, what's that app called, Eddie, that we first started listening to? YouVersion.
YouVersion.
Yep. And I started listening to that, and that really, you know, piqued my interest in finishing it and starting it and finishing it. But I really think because of that dedication that I put in that year of reading through the Bible, that God revealed to me, you know, what He had in plan, had planned for me for the future. But the reason why I failed at reading through the Bible for all those years, and the reason why people make resolutions to lose weight or stop smoking or quit cussing or wearing their seatbelt or whatever it is that people want to make resolutions about is because of ourselves getting away every time. It's not, there is nothing Eddie has ever done that's made me get off my diet. There's nothing that anybody in this building has ever done to me that kept me from reading my Bible. It's always been me. It's me every time. You know, of all the things that people make resolutions about, and I'm sure some people do, I for one have never said this until now, but why don't we ever make the resolution of being a better Christ follower? I mean, why is it always something, well, I'm going to cut out carbs, or I'm going to, like I said, obey the speed limit this year. You know, why don't we ever start out the year saying, you know, God, I am dedicating myself to you this year to be used how you so desire. But like I said, all of you may do that. I have personally never done that until this year. And that's one of the resolutions I am making, is for God's will to be shown in my life this year. You know, but why don't we ask to be or make the resolution to be a better Christ follower? Is it because we've already reached the perfection in our walk with Christ? Is it because we're just satisfied where we're at right now? We really don't see the need? Or is it because we would get pushed out of our comfort zone? You know, and that was a big one for me for a long time, is I am not one who likes to get out of my comfort zone at all. But tonight I want to take our scripture comes from Luke 9, verse 23. You want to be turning there. But tonight I want to talk about, we're going to read this verse, and it's going to tell us a couple of things of what Jesus asked us to do to be a follower of Him. So if you've got that turned to, why don't you stand with me, and we'll read Luke 9, 23 for God's word. Then He said to them all, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for all of your many blessings, dear Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for just all the things that you provided for us this year, dear Lord. Thank you for that building over there, dear Lord. I know that we are the church, dear Lord. We are the body of believers that make up the church, not that building, dear Lord. We're thankful for just all the blessings that you have provided for us, dear Lord. Dear Lord, please, we just ask for your protection over this service, dear Lord, your guidance and your direction during this service, dear Lord. Please don't let me stand in the way of someone hearing your word tonight, dear Lord. And these things I ask and I pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Something I have not perfected in trying to write a sermon is time management. So I have no idea if this is going to take 15 minutes or 45 minutes. At the end, you might be saying, if I'd known it was going to be this short, I'd have just left the car running. It's hard on the battery to start and stop this way. But, you know, you also might be saying, I wish we'd have got a snack before we might be hunting up some Tic Tacs or something before we leave here. But time management is not one of my fortes yet. But there's two things that popped out to me at that verse when God laid it on my heart this morning. And, you know, I'm like Eddie. Google is a great tool sometimes. It can lead to a lot of trouble if you type in the wrong words, but it can be used for good. And when God laid that on my heart this morning, I just pulled up my phone, typed in on Google, and, you know, and sure enough, it came up. And for whatever reason, the partial part of that verse just kept ringing in my head about denying myself and taking up my cross. But the first thing that popped out at me of that is, let him deny himself. I think denying ourselves is probably the hardest, one of the hardest things we're ever required to do. I think pretty much we're all selfish people by nature. It is by God's grace only that we have anything good inside of us to give anybody else. I know, you know, for myself, you know, there are several bad qualities that I have to keep in check, you know, and I have to deny myself. But if we were experts at denying ourselves, there we'd all have New Year's resolutions because we'd all keep them. We wouldn't have to worry about failing anymore, because ourself is what keeps us from achieving those every year. You know, another example, if I could deny myself, had no problem denying myself, I wouldn't have a weight problem. You know, I would eat till I, you know, some kind of little healthy meal until I was satisfied, and just deny anything past that. But I am not an expert at denying myself. And I told the kids that this morning. You know, it's been a little over 2 years since I started keto. And every morning when I walk into that classroom, I have to make a daily decision not to eat one of those donuts sitting over there. I mean, you would think after 2 years, huh?
That's right, they're in your class.
Yeah. After 2 years, you would think, I mean, come on, man, get a grip. It's just a donut. But I still have to make a daily decision not to go over there and get me 2, 3, 4. But, I mean, that's just something I deal with. But two of my major personality traits is being a rule follower by nature and a peacemaker. And I would say both of those things have served me pretty well over the years. Excuse me. But there is a major downfall in being a peacemaker by nature. Because, you know, if I hear of something going on or there's something that I think I can get in between and solve, I'm going to do that. I can't stand conflict. I don't like to see other people in conflict. If I can solve it, I'm going to try. But what goes along with that is I like to make peace within my own little safe space as well. I don't like to get out of my comfort zone. You know, like I said, I like to stay in my comfort zone. But one of the things I have written in my message is what I talk about here in prayer requests. But, you know, that's a confession that I want to make tonight is I still find it very hard not to second guess, you know, the calling, you know, to the ministry. But 10 months later, I'd be hoping the fear of public speaking would be gone and done. You know, people say, oh, the more you do it, the better you be. You know, the more you do it, it won't even bother you anymore. Well, that ain't true. You know, it's been 10 months, and I'm still just as nervous up here as I was the first time. I walked into the new building last night. Me and Heather on our way to Murfreesboro, and Brian and Marsh and Ms. Gerwood and Ms. Lorraine and all of them were here. And I walked over there, and I walked out in that sanctuary, and I saw how big it is. And I know, and I had to speak tonight, and I thought, you know what, after tomorrow night, the next time I ever have to give a sermon will be in front of this huge building, whether it's all 15 of us like there is tonight in that huge building or not, it's going to be in that huge building. And to be quite honest, I was intimidated just standing there by myself in there to think that I would have to get up there on that big old huge stage and give a message. But, you know, another thing that I've struggled with here lately is I finished my first semester of school a couple of weeks ago. I did a whole lot better than I went in thinking I I would have done or could have done, but I found myself the other day thinking, you know, well, it's nice not having to come home and worry about homework. You know, is school really for me? You know, if it were up to me, I would just find a comfortable pew over there, you know, have it my honorary pew that, you know, it's got my name on it that you can't see. And I would park myself in that little safe space every service, and I'd sit there and let Eddie sing songs and hear Brother Jonathan speak and just be, you know, happy as a lark. But thank goodness, through the power of Jesus Christ, that fear and those things don't have dominion over me. You know, I know through denying myself that I'll be able to get up and speak in front of that big building one day. Whether there's 200 people in there or 15 of us with a leaky roof, it's gonna, you know, I'm gonna be able to deny myself and speak. Just like next semester, I'm gonna deny myself and I'm gonna get in there and do my assignments and try my hardest, just like I did this semester. And God has rewarded me for doing so. But, you know, I have the power to deny, you know, the old nature. You know, my old nature, I recognize, you know, all those shortcomings. You know, I recognize all those doubts and those fears that I have. But also, you know, the new me in God, you know, has the power to let God's power shine over the old me and be able for God to use through me. The second thing that pops out at me from that verse is to take up his cross daily. To find the answer that I think Jesus was talking about by taking up his cross daily can be found in Galatians 2:20. In Galatians 2:20 says, "If I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, those are the words of Paul, but that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? To have that kind of faith. Is anybody else hot? My goodness. Ooh, wish I wore shorts and a t-shirt. But that's a very bold statement from Paul to say, you know, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me and through me. You know, I think as believers, we would all say that by statement of faith that we believe that verse. But do we live that way, that we believe that? That we're dead and Christ is and risen with Christ and Christ lives in us and through us. Do we live our daily lives like we believe that? Is that just something we say we believe? Anytime that I have to get up and lead singing or get up here and deliver a message, it's because I'm living out that verse. Because like I said, the old me would be just as happy right there in that seat listening to somebody else do it. But I know that that's not what God's called me to do. I know he's called me to be up here and to deliver a message that he has laid on my heart. But through the power of Jesus and the faith that we have in him, we can overcome the world and its pitfalls. And another thing about that is we can also, through the power of Jesus, is we can recognize the world I can recognize those doubts and those fears that Satan has been attacking me with. I can recognize those and realize that God hasn't left me, that I wasn't wrong, that I realize where those are coming from. You know, just like Andy said today, you know, God didn't leave me, I left him. You know, I know whenever I start to feel like that God hadn't left me. You know, I know that he is, just like Andy said, he's right where I left him. And I know that it's Satan who is putting those thoughts and those doubts and my fear and those fears in my life, and he would really have nothing, you know, want nothing less but to see me fail than to see me sitting on that pew right there, not serving him. But one of the main questions I have tonight is, does it ever get any easier? Does following Christ ever get any easier? I mean, some of you older ones, is following Christ just a skip in the park compared to what it used to be? Or I hadn't found it to be that way. But, you know, if somebody asked me that question, I think the real honest answer I could give them would be, you know, it depends on what day it is. You know, it's just like, you know, anything else we do where ourselves are involved, just like dieting or anything else, there are some days when I had, you know, willpower for eating out the wazoo. You know, there was no amount of tempted that would make me fail. And then there are some days where, you know, I want to eat the legs off the table. But I think following Christ, in my experience, has been a lot like that. There's days when I feel like I can move mountains for God. And then there's some days where I feel like I'm in the valley and he's on the mountaintop. I feel that far away from him. And, you know, it really just depends on the day as to how, you know, I feel about that. You know, and I know without a doubt, because I have, you know, on my strong days, I know without a doubt that I'm in God's will. And how I know that I'm in God's will on those days is because I've had to deny myself to do it. Like today, you know, right now, I know I'm in God's will because everything in me wants to be sitting down listening to somebody else. But I know through, you know, what Luke 9:23 tells us, that I have to deny myself and pick up my cross and bear it daily. But on the weekdays, when Satan is out prowling around like a lion, seeking who he can destroy, you know, I have to rely on those words of Paul and say, you know, Lord, I do not want to go back to that person. I do not want to live in fear. I do not want to live in doubt. I do not want to, you know, I want to live for you. But in closing, one other verse I want to look at tonight is Matthew 18:1-4. Matthew 18:1-4. Like, my Bible has little headings, you know, above the paragraphs, and it's the heading is, "Who is the greatest?" And I read this verse in a men's breakfast one time. But this verse, as a child, scared me to death. I mean, when I read it, you're going to be like, really? That's the verse that scared you to death as a child? You know, of all the stuff it talks about in Revelation, all the other verses throughout the Bible, this is the one that scared you. But it is. It says, verse 18, 1-4, chapter 18, 1-4 says, At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "So who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child and had him stand among them. "Truly I tell you," he said, "unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever who humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You know, as a child, the first time I ever heard that verse, I couldn't think for the life of me what Jesus was talking about there. I thought, what in the world is he talking about until the disciples could become like children? You know, I couldn't fathom what he was talking about. And it wasn't, you know, and like even my teen years growing up as a Christian, I can remember thinking back time to time if I would hear this verse, like, man, I wonder if I've achieved that. I wonder if I'm like a child yet. You know, because I certainly want to enter the kingdom of heaven. But I had no idea what this verse was talking about until God blessed me with my own children. And, you know, that's the one thing that God has taught me through having my own children is my children have an all-in faith. You know, and whatever they're doing, they are all in about it. You know, they still believe that me and Heather know everything. I know there is a time and a place coming when they figure out that we're dummies. But right now, they still believe that we know everything. You know, and they're not afraid to ask any array of questions. You know, that some of the stuff Mason comes up with, I wish I had a recorder sometimes, some of the questions he's asked. But in his mind, he believes that I have an answer, and he is not afraid to come to me with it. You know, and another thing that my children still believe is the healing power of a kiss or a hug. You know, and those are all things that we lose as adults. We realize that there is no, you know, medical, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no healing power, you know, of kissing a boo-boo. But as a child, you know, you're convinced that it does. But I think that's also the reason as adults that it becomes hard in our walk with God is because we feel like we've seen behind the curtain now. We realize that you know, at one point in time, we believe that God, you know, has all this healing power, and we believe that God does have all the answers. And there becomes a point in time in our life when we start to kind of doubt that. When we see all life's disappointments, all the things that we struggle with, all the things that go on around us that we question, you know, God, why would you allow this person to be killed? Or why would you allow the shooting in Texas today? Or, you know, we have all these questions, and we don't seem to get our answers sometimes. But what God desires above all from us is the same thing that I desire to have in my own children. A real, loving, tangible relationship. He wants me to come and ask him to, you know, for a hug or a kiss my boo-boos. You know, he wants me to come and ask him the ridiculous questions. He wants me to have that kind of all-in faith. He wants me to believe like my children believe in me right now. And like I said, as adults, we feel like we have lost that. But that's one of the things that I want to challenge everyone this new year, is to become a better child of God, to put that faith back in God, to put that, you know, that overwhelming all-in faith back in God, to where whenever we ask for something, you know, God, you know, just like we don't give everything our children ask for, you know, because we know what they need, you know, God knows what we need, and He provides for us what we need. But I think God still desires to have that kind of relationship with us. I think He desires to hear our wants and our needs, even though He already knows what they are. You know, just like I know what, you know, some of my children's wants and desires are, but I still like them to come and have that personal relationship with me. I mean, that would be kind of sad for just my children just to be walking around the house and just think that there was nothing I could do for them. So there's no point in talking to me. There's no point in, you know, if, you know, another thing that would be very heartbreaking as a parent is if one of my children did something that I didn't approve of, and they felt that it was so bad that they felt like I could never love them or never forgive them, and so they just broke away without ever talking to me about it. And no matter if I went to them or not over it, you know, they carried this such a large burden over whatever it is, or the multiple things, that they no longer desire a relationship because they don't think it can be fixed. But I'm telling you that it can be. That God is a bigger God than we could ever be parents to our children. He's a better parent than we could ever be. He's a better provider than we could ever be. He's a better healer, certainly, than we could ever be for our children. But that's some of the thoughts I had sitting in a recliner this morning. And I'm so glad y'all were all here to support me and to be here and to listen. But let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank You for this day. Dear Lord, I just ask You, just, dear Lord, as we leave this place tonight, dear Lord, just for Your protection over us, dear Lord. Just give us all a safe journey and just a safe way home tonight, dear Lord. Please just put a hedge of protection around each of us, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we just thank You and we praise You for just all the wonderful, mighty things that You do for us. Dear Lord, please just be with us this new year, dear Lord, as we make resolutions and promises, dear Lord, to serve You more, to do something else more, or do something less, dear Lord. Please just give us a reminder, dear Lord, just to deny ourselves, because we are the ones that are stopping us. If our relationship is not good with You tonight, dear Lord, just help us remember that it's not because You have left us, it's because we have left You, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we're just so thankful. And these things I ask and I pray in Your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.